From NPR in Los Angeles, I'm Tavis Smiley. This week, we've been exploring the question of morality in America in a special roundtable conversation. Joining us for the conversation are four distinguished spiritual leaders who represent a broad spectrum of religious principles and beliefs around the country. Rabbi Michael Lerner is rabbi of the Beit Tikkun Synagogue in San Francisco and editor of Tikkun Magazine. Joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, Bishop Vashti McKenzie, president of the Council of Bishops of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. She is the first female bishop of the AME Church. Bishop Harriet Jackson is pastor of the Hope Christian Church in College Park, Maryland. And finally, Bishop Noel Jones of the City of Refuge Church in Los Angeles, California. We ended yesterday's conversation on the notion of a cultural divide in America and turn today to the question of religious fundamentalism. We pick up on day four of our discussion with Bishop Harry Jackson. Bishop Jackson, you closed our conversation yesterday saying that you believe there has to be a starting point. There's got to be an absolute. There has to be a certain truth. Let's talk about religious fundamentalism, because if you subscribe to the Harry Jackson notion, you get called a religious fundamentalist.
Well, you do, and I'm concerned about fundamentalism and fundamentalist. I believe that there is a truth in the Word of God. There are absolutes there. But the problem is that Jesus went around rebuking people called the Pharisees. And the problem with human nature is that having received, quote unquote, revelation of the truth, I then sometimes go about creating a universe that looks like me, thinks like me, does everything the only the way that I do it. And so I think our problem in America today is that many fundamentalists were fearful of what was going on at the election boxes. They were concerned that gay marriage was going to get out of control. They're concerned about issues like abortion. But the problem is, until we learn how to operate in the spirit of Christ, in the love of Christ, you don't have a balanced reflection of Christianity. So I can be theologically correct, and I can try to put my theology into a political ideology, and I think I've got it all down because of how I think. But until I translate my action into something that is tempered by the love of Christ, then I'm still a hypocritical Pharisee. So America has started a process with fundamentalism where many, many people are standing up and saying, I believe and this is right. Mm-hmm. And I think Bishop McKenzie articulated some things very well earlier in the week that said, well, what are you going to do about it, essentially? That's our problem.
Let me go to Bishop McKenzie, since you have brought her into this conversation again. Bishop McKenzie, there appears to be a fundamentalism in religion that breeds, I hope I can say this, fanatical approaches to world order. Let me, for the moment, attempt to juxtapose religious fundamentalism here in the U.S. with what we see as Islamic extremism abroad. So I guess the question is, how can communities of faith, broadly speaking, help reconcile extreme viewpoints toward understanding and tolerance? I mean, is that achievable?
Yes, and notice how slowly I said yes.
Yeah, I saw that coming a mile away. Yeah.
Well, you know, when we talk about religious fundamentalism, which some consider an extreme, where you look for absolute structure of belief, concrete, that is applied straight across the board in our country, overseas, and in Christian, Judeo-Christian tradition, and other traditions. The other extreme we have in this country, then, is the process that has sought to discredit the theological language of the church, rejecting the role of the church. And so between these, you know, two extremes, now you're trying to find your belief systems, your values, your morality, that whole process. Can we construct a bridge from these two entities? Do I believe it's possible? All things are possible. You know, I would be pessimistic if I didn't say it's possible. But we are facing the reality that many of our conflicts and our wars all around the world, when you pull back all the covers, there is a difference in religious belief at the bottom of it. If we would, as Rabbi Lerner said, let us come find that healing ground where we can find our commonality here so that we are not wiping out our countries, our community, and potentially wiping out the world.
Bishop Jones, there has been a tendency in recent years here in America for our political leaders And I'm not sure I'm talking just about folk on the right here. I'm sure I can think of some examples of folk on the left. But there has been this tendency in recent years for our political leaders to define evil in terms of our enemies. Ronald Reagan called the former Soviet Union the evil empire. George Bush more recently used the word evildoers, talked about the axis of evil, Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. The larger point here is that our leaders are talking more about evil, but the evil that they speak of only seems to be evil on the part of our enemies. Talk to me about that notion that seems to be promulgated by these so-called religious fundamentalists.
Let me begin by saying that it is obvious that God is a God of science, and he's a God of the natural, he's a God of the supernatural. And you and I know that there are certain fixed laws of nature that make things happen and make things possible. If certain things were not fundamentally true, you could not have medical science, you could not have aviation, you could not have all that we have. God is a God of science. He is true. He is exact. The word of God is exact. The word of God is true. But what has happened is not in the fundamental truth and value of the scripture. What has happened is in the interpretation. Mm. And the question now becomes, what drives my interpretation? What should drive my interpretation is the Spirit of God, not my own selfishness. And what we have seen over the years is actually America moving away from the fundamental, rudimental truths that are the substratum of what we believe and how we operate. We have moved away. Why? Because we've become more subjective in our revelation. As the church moved from Pentecostal to neo-Pentecostal, charismatic, word of faith, evangelical, what you find, a group of people can get up now and say, well, the Lord said to me and the Lord showed me. So there is no integrity that's left with the text any longer. So now I can put evil on my enemy. I can go to Isaiah and say that was talking about Iraq, or that was talking about, because nobody interprets. And if they do interpret, it's driven by something other than the Holy Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God interprets, it interprets with the attitudes of God, with the behavior of God, and we have to partake of his nature. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, then we have to go to the truth of the text and keep the text, maintaining its integrity, and not use the text to throw bombs at everybody in the world.
Rabbi Lerner, Bishop Jones said a mouthful there, but what I'm really fascinated by is the first thing that came out of his mouth when he said that God is a God of science. When you talk about religious fundamentalists, there are those who believe the exact opposite, because if they believe that God was a God of science, so much of what drives that so-called religious fundamentalist political agenda would not be so dismissive of science. So, is God a God of science?
Absolutely. I believe that God is created the world and created it with a regular order, and that gave human beings the capacities to explore the world and learn about it. But I do believe that there can be a fundamentalism in science just like a fundamentalism in religion. The fundamentalism in science is the belief that everything that is real is that which can be measured or subject to empirical verification through our senses. That, I think, discards religion, spirituality, love, kindness, ethics, all of that, and says, oh, that's not empirically verifiable. It can't be measured. Therefore, it's not real. On the other hand, we have people who, it's funny to learn of these Christian fundamentalists who tell us that they have to stick with the word of the Bible, but they have never read it in Hebrew. They don't even know what the Bible actually says. In fact, they have many wild mistranslations in the King James Version of the Bible. They have no clue. The fundamental truth from which I move in Judaism is this, that human beings are created in the image of God, that they are embodiments of the sacred and have the capacity to be partners with God in healing the world with love, with kindness, with peace, and with justice, and that our task is to create that kind of a world in partnership with God. So from that truth, then, as the previous bishop said, yes, it's absolutely true that human beings take the fundamental truth and then they add all kinds of particularities of their perception and attribute that to God, whereas that's not what our scriptures are telling us, and that's not what the key religious truths of the world tell us. What they tell us is something much deeper, and then we confuse our particular scheme about how to embody the sacred with the injunction that we ought to embody the sacred.
Bishop Jackson, I wonder whether or not those who are dismissive of so-called religious fundamentalists are dismissive at their own peril. What I mean to suggest by that is that given that this country is run amok in so many different ways around the issue of morality, one could argue, I guess, you tell me whether or not legitimately or illegitimately, but one could argue that were it not for these folk who are religious fundamentalists, that we'd really be not going to, but already in hell, not going to hell in a handbasket. Somebody's got to hold up a standard.
Well, I would like to say that there is value in holding your scriptural beliefs high and implementing them. We've all said here today that there are problems with people who become so legalistically literal that they violate the spirit and character of the very God that they claim that they serve. Both parties now are going to have to be accountable to this group of moral people who, even in their simplicity of how they see the world, need to have some representation in the greater political community. I think there's a redefinition of American politics that has to happen. There's too much fear campaigning. There's too much demonization of people who disagree with us. On the left, the Democrats minimize the voice of the fundamentalists now to their chagrin. The folks on the right, the Republicans, some of whom have used fundamentalists, they're going to now have to pay the piper. And I think there needs to be this wooing of this group into a dialogue. And it's going to have to start, I believe, in some pulpits and then also in some political arenas where we get this wonderful group of people to begin to think about the scripture says X. And as Bishop Jones has implied, what does that therefore mean in our world? What's the true interpretation?
I got to send you a check, Bishop Jackson, 2 days in a row. Now, you set me up rather brilliantly for the next day's conversation. And so tomorrow, because as we say in the black church, we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we are of no earthly good. We will talk about the present and future role of the faith community. And we will do that on the last day of this conversation tomorrow. Again, Bishop Harry Jackson, Bishop Vashti McKenzie, Bishop Noel Jones, and Rabbi Michael Lerner join us tomorrow for the final conversation in our week-long series.